As Jeffrey Masson describes in The Dog Who Can Stop Loving, when we love our dogs, we love them unconditionally. It is a powerful feeling. He goes on to say, people often say the strongest love they feel is for their family and for their dog. My name is Ashley Ender.
And my name is Alexa Buffa, and we interviewed Professor Susan Avery of the Economics Department at Lafayette College about the relationship between her and her dog, Polly. We first asked the professor to tell us a little more about her dog and how she ended up getting her.
Polly was purchased, not by me, but by her previous owner at the pet store at the Palmer Park Mall. They paid $800 for Polly. She's a cockapoo, which means she doesn't shed. And she's on the mid-size, so she's about 20 pounds. And somebody, somewhere along the line, when she was a puppy, docked her tail. And I got her from a woman who used to work at Lafayette who ran the America Reads program, which they used to have out of the community service thing. And she was moving, had another dog, said she couldn't take Polly. And said, oh, Polly was very well trained, had slept in a crate with his other dog. We were looking for a dog, so we thought, this is great.
As it turned out, taking Polly led to some big changes in the lives of the Averett family. Getting a dog is never easy at first, but in this case, getting a dog was extremely difficult, as Polly came not only very untrained, but also with some anxiety issues.
I think she was a puppy mill puppy. I really think that was her thing.
According to the ASPCA site concerning puppy mills, many puppy mills send their dogs to pet stores to be sold. These mills house dogs in overcrowded and unsanitary conditions, which can cause the dogs many behavioral issues, including extreme shyness, aggression, fear, and anxiety. Polly showed to have many of these issues. We asked Professor Averett to tell us more about Polly's anxiety and training issues.
Polly was not trained at all. And she really didn't like a crate. And she was really nervous. I think she wouldn't have anything to do with my husband. She slept under my daughter's bed. And she was very nervous. And she peed in certain places in the house. She found a place she liked, and she would pee there. It was in the bathroom on a rug. And it was like, okay, this is not what I signed up for. So it took a while for Polly to actually sort of integrate into our family.
Polly needed training. Professor Averett took Polly through training at the local community college, which really helped with Polly's house training. Still, training did not exactly help with all of Polly's internal issues. What Polly really needed was time to recover. Being in a new place with all new people she wasn't used to is going to take time to be able to relax. Even though the training did not help a ton with Polly's issues of nervousness, it did something else for the family.
But I do think the training helped us to understand her better. And okay. To be able to help her adjust. And I don't know, for me, just to kind of react to her, not get annoyed, but understand sort of what she might be feeling. And so we understood sort of how to put her bed so that she was comfortable.
Something that seemed to have really helped Polly is the family's move to Paris. One would think that going into a new place with all new strangers would be extremely stressful for Polly, but this seems to have actually brought her closer together with Professor Averett. Professor Averett talked about how Polly was a new way to connect with new people. Because she had to find a place for Polly to stay when the family took trips away from their new home, both Professor Averett and Polly made new relationships.
She forced me to have to meet some people that I would never have met, right? And interact with some people that I wouldn't have had to interact with because I had to figure out who to care for her, and all that, so.
This idea that dogs lead to meet new people is explained in Caroline Knapp's book, Pack of Two, The Intricate Bond Between People and Dogs. A whole chapter, called Surrogate Dog, is devoted to this topic. Knapp explains that there is a classic story among dogs and their owners. As she puts it, dog gets owner out of house, tugs him or her towards new people, and expands the human pack. This is a similar idea to how Polly helped Professor Averett meet new people. Their new adventure in life helped them form their relationship and has given it something special. The people they met and the places they went would be something that Professor Averett would never forget, and she had Polly along her side.
Because we were interested in their daily life, we asked Professor Averett to explain a walk between her and Polly.
So you start off and you're going, and then it's just a dead stop when there's something to smell, you know? And so you can't go super fast, but you can go at a pretty good clip with her. And then sometimes if she sees something that she wants, she is actually a very strong 20-pound dog. So I'd say there's some back and forth. You know, it's not just a heel and she does what I want necessarily, but she kind of leads the direction. We have several walks that we do every day, and she is super enthusiastic about all of them. and wants to kind of go her way.
A day in the life of these two includes getting up and letting Polly go outside to the bathroom, followed by feeding her and taking her for a long walk. Their nighttime routine is very similar as they go for another long walk before bed. Polly's walks seem very similar to the walks taken by Alexandra Horowitz and her dog called Smell Walks. In her book, Inside of a Dog, What Dogs See, Smell, and Know, Horowitz explains that in these walks, she lets her dog stop at every landmark along their routes in which her dog shows an interest, and can be described as almost purely for the dog's personal enjoyment. Here's a clip from a TED Talk discussing the dog's nose.
As your dog catches the first hints of fresh air, her nose is moist, spongy outside, helps capture any scents the breeze carries. The ability to smell separately, with each nostril, smelling in stereo, helps to determine the direction of the smell's source, so that within the first few moments of sniffing, the dog starts to become aware of not just what kinds of things are out there, but also where they're located.
Professor Averitt is very caring in that she allows her dog to sniff the places that she wants, while many owners would just yank their dog back and make them keep going. There doesn't seem to be a time crunch on their walks. This understanding of what a dog wants is what Polly really brought into the Averitt family. As Professor Averitt explained to us, she wants to know how to make her dog's life the best it can be.
And I think for my girls, too, she's brought in a sense of understanding of sort of that animal-human dynamic and how you can feel sympathy for animals. And I think you can then sort of helps give you a little bit more empathy for people.
This sense of understanding sounds very similar to what Lori Gruen recommends in her book, Entangled Empathy, which explains the importance of caring relationships between beings. Gruen defines entangled empathy as a type of caring perception focused on attending to another's experience of well-being. Professor Averitt used this type of caring and worked hard at it so that Polly's issues, which are hard to turn around in a dog, got better. These efforts gave her dog a happier and less stressful life. This empathy that she had for Polly is what makes their relationship so special.
So I think for me personally, because I feel like she was this puppy mill puppy, I've had a lot of sympathy for her, and that sort of made me see animals in a different light.